is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to Road School Moms Radio, where education meets adventure. Your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino of Full Time Families and Mary Beth Goff, the road trip teacher, will share advice, information, and encouragement to bring your road schooling efforts to new levels.
Hello, and welcome to another wonderful Sunday night of Road School Moms Live. I am one of your hosts, Kimberly Travaglino, co-founder of Full Time Families, and road schooling mom to four beautiful kiddos, and having a wonderful time in the suburbs of Phoenix, Arizona. And on the line with me tonight is my lovely co-host.
Hey, it's Mary Beth Goff, your road trip teacher, also a road school mama to four, and the creator and author of RoadTripTeacher.com and the Chronicles over at DiaryOfARoadMom.com. And we are enjoying our week this week in Southwest Florida.
Terrific. I'm trying to make this work. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Although I have to tell you that I'm still driving for this evening, and I was just on the wrong side of the road. So it seems that we're having a great start to our night.
That's not good. There's absolutely no collisions allowed during the show. This is a collision-free zone.
I have to hand it to my 9-year-old daughter who was like, are you on the wrong side of that thing over there, meaning the median? Yes, actually, I am on the wrong side. Let's correct that very quickly.
Well, I know you'll swerve a little more when you hear this. I am actually in my camper by myself tonight. For the first time in 12 years, my lovely husband has packed the kids in the car and taken them all four out to dinner without me. And I have the entire camper to myself. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do first. I guess I should host the show with you. But
what we really need to do, and you know it, is put a rerun on for Road School Mom. Tell everybody that we love them for tuning in, but we're taking a break, and you need to go do something for yourself. That's awesome.
If I wasn't excited about tonight's show, I would totally do that. I would totally take you up on that, Mary Beth. But tonight's show, as you know, is making your marriage a priority in 350 square feet. And what you probably don't know, Mary Beth, is because you're driving, is that we are in the midst of hosting a couple's photo contest, a couple's picture photo contest. And later tonight in the broadcast, our special guests, Hal and Melanie Young, will be choosing one of the photos as the winner of tonight's very generous giveaway. So I'm watching all these beautiful pictures of couples stream in. It's really nice.
Oh, how fun. I love that. This has been a crazy week. Have you had a crazy week? I've been so crazy busy, fun busy, not crazy like over my head, overwhelmed busy, but just this has been one of the best weeks we've had for a long time in our rig. And we're not even
talking
about
it. What did you do?
We just had a really good week. We had, at the beginning of the week, if you remember, we were all about this unit on forensic science, and everybody was way excited about that. And we were finishing up our President's ABC's copywork guide that's available over Road Trip Teacher right now, free actually. If you're on our Road School Moms chat this evening, you'll get the coupon for that. But we finished that up, and that sparked some interest with my two younger ones, which never happens. It's always my two older ones that seem to rabbit trail off and look for other things. But this week it was my two younger ones really questioned me to death about presidents and the government and how our government works. And it really made me have to stop and really research some of the answers, because I definitely did not have all the answers. And then we rolled right into the absolutely amazingly fun and awesome FTF field trip over at Legoland. That was so much fun. We had an absolute blast, and we can talk about that a little bit later. And then we rolled right into Valentine's Day, and we've just had a big family weekend. It's just been good. It's been really, really good.
Well, have you, like I, been inundated with Valentine's from traveling children?
Oh, my goodness. I have to tell you that when we were at, and I know you weren't at the field trip over at Legoland, which I missed you and your family terribly, but we were talking over there in line some of us were just talking about, you know, all the Valentines we got in the mail, and it was absolutely so much fun. My kiddos absolutely love mail, as do I. And as you know, when you're on the road, you know, you don't really get mail too much. If you do get mail, it's because you've ordered something or because you need some important little piece of paper or something that you're waiting on. It's not like you, you know, expect to get daily mail. And for us, it was just so much fun. We took the golf cart and we went to the mailbox every day and we had all these Valentines. And we actually saved all of ours up until yesterday, and it was absolutely a blast. I've got pictures of it. I have so many pictures of stuff we've done this week that I had trouble figuring out what to put on our Road School week. But when we opened all those Valentines and everybody got to pass them out to each one, it was just so much fun. And I have to say that, wow, what a great group of Road School moms that we have that follow us on this show and with full-time families. So much fun.
It was so much fun. It never even occurred to me to hold them all like you did, and I saw Denise Rasek posted a picture to hold them all to Valentine's Day, because that would have been even more fun. And I think next year we'll probably do that. In fact, we'll probably make those little mailboxes for the kids like they did in school, because in previous years we've had no use for those mailboxes, and every time I look at them in the dollar store or at Michael's as a craft, I go, well, we don't need that. We don't have anybody to exchange Valentine's with, so we don't need that. This is actually the second time we've done the Valentine's exchange, and it was a great, great success this year. I was really, really happy with how it turned out and how my kids just loved every part of it.
Yep, as did mine. It was so much fun. And we actually did make little mailboxes out of cereal boxes just because one of my kids from the public school days made the comment, remember when we used to make those? And I was like, oh, we should totally do that. Because, you know, I've got a kindergartner in our rig, and so I always like to try to make sure that we do all that, you know, I don't know. It sets the standard, I guess. Sets the bar, and then you always feel like you have to live up to it.
Right. Right. Well, you know, that's a good point, because we've kind of abandoned those things. Although I do have a kindergartner in my rig also, I don't think like that, right? And I'm robbing him of some of those experiences. So I'm going to be more intentional about doing those little things with them so that he can have that experience too. That's a really good thing to remember. Go ahead, Mary Beth.
No, but I was just going to say, it's so funny you said that, because Tyler, my oldest, we just had this conversation at Legoland, actually. I don't know if you remember that boat ride that, because most of them loved last year. We stood there, I don't know if you remember, at the end of the day, and they just kept riding in it, and it took forever for them to get around because it was so slow. And Tori wanted to ride that so bad. That's, you know, my kindergartner, for those of you that don't know our family. And my second oldest son was happy to oblige. He's always good about taking her, holding her hand, and taking her on whatever ride she wants to go on. And my oldest was standing there, and he made the comment. He goes, oh, I wish we could go. I don't want to stand here. And I said, you know, you guys got to do all this fun stuff when you're little. And I, you know, we forget to take the time for the younger ones. You know, that's why they get old so fast. That's why they miss their, you know, I mean, I think Tori skipped from 2 and went straight to 4. You know, she skipped over some of that because they're used to being with the bigger kids. And I think when you're on the road, at least like we are, you know, there's a set of littles and then there's a set of bigs, and most of the time if the littles are in between those two groups, they tend to go to the bigs because they always, you know, they love the bigger kids, so that's where they want to hang and they want to be just like them. And I don't know, for me, I'm not trying to hold anybody back, but I want her to definitely be a little girl, you know, and have that kindergarten, first, and even second grade experiences. So there's my 2 cents for that.
Absolutely. Really good reminder for families with multiple age children, because, like you said, as Road School moms, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to keep moving forward, right? And obviously the kids that are the older are the ones that maybe need our attention the most, or so we think at times. And we think we can just let the little one slide, but it's really important to be intentional with all of them.
Yep, it is.
So what we were talking about with the Valentine's Day Exchange, if you don't know, is it's an FPF community building event. Anyone who's an FPF member is more than welcome to participate. And then on top of that, if you participated and you are an FPF Explorer, which is our brand new Scout program, 12-month scouting program, you get a special badge. And you also participated in another badge opportunity this week. Wow, you earned 2 badges this week. You're your explorers earned two badges this week. This in your rig, Mary Beth, you got the Legoland badge too.
Yes, we were very excited about the Legoland badge. I mean, how fun to get a badge on top of
everything else. You know, I'm trying to drive. You know, I can't do
yes,
two things
I do.
At once. I'm really almost to my destination. Won't you be glad?
So I will fill in the gap. If you attended Legoland and you're an SPF Explorer, you were given this sheet of paper that said exactly how to earn the badge. Everyone got the badge off the bat. They just handed out the badges at the event. And then if you were an Explorer, you needed to pick two things from the list of four or five things in order to earn the badge. And some of them were like trading minifigures with Legoland staff and finding out where they're from and helping mom or dad with a little kid so that mom or dad could ride the ride with some other child in your road school. A variety of things. So everyone that was there earned their badge, and I'm really excited. And Laura Hamilton, the SCF Explorer Expedition leader, is going to be sending out those lanyards this week with the badges you have all earned to date. So that's that. I want to also chime in about the book club, the SCF book club with Mike Graff. It's the Adventure with the Parkers book club series. We are wrapping up our first book, which was Tale of the Scorpion, about Grand Canyon National Park. And we wrap that up with a book club party tomorrow where Mike Graff will be joining us and bringing information about the Grand Canyon and about the book and bringing a copy of the next book for one lucky book club recipient. So if you are interested in joining the book club, go ahead and get yourself on the Facebook page for that. I will post the link at Road School Moms on the chat so you can get involved in that and come to the book club party tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I love that. I love book club. It's made us stick to reading. You know, we get lax sometimes. I'm a big proponent of read aloud, family read aloud. You know this already. But sometimes, I don't know, when we get off track, then it seems like we're off track for a while, and this book club has helped us stay on track, so I love that.
Absolutely, yes, it's very exciting. So, So tonight we are talking with Hal and Melanie Young, who happen to be hosts on another show on our network at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. They host a show called, I have it in my notes, I want to say it exactly right, Making Biblical Life Practical. So if you want to tune in, later in the broadcast they'll tell you how to tune into their show. I'm sure you can also catch the replays at ultimateradioshow.com. So Hal and Melanie offer to help us out tonight and chime in on how to keep your marriage a priority in 350 square feet. I'm often asked what unexpected circumstances have come out of us living on the road. And my answer is always those interpersonal relationships that you could put off, put on the back burner, or escape from in a large house, let's say 3,500 square feet. It doesn't even have to be that large, but in a large house, you can send your children to their room. You can go stomp off and go someplace else. You cannot do that when you live in 350 square feet. And the one thing I've learned in this lifestyle is that you have to continually address these issues because they don't go away just because you live in a camper and tour the country. In fact, if anything, at times they can get even more grueling. So one of the things that we have done as a family is grown as a result of being forced into 350 square feet of communication space and dealing with stuff space. Do you find that to be true, Mary Beth?
I do, and it's increasingly harder when you're, especially if you're traveling. You know, if you're stationary somewhere, and I know a lot of us winter in a certain place, even for weeks at a time. So I apologize for all the background noise because I know there's a lot of it. But when you're traveling, especially and on the road, it's just, you know, you're cooped up during the day. Even whether you're, no matter what kind of rig you're in, you're cooped up during the day. Usually when you're traveling and it's easy for tensions to get high, and you know, a lot of times when you get in at night, the first thing everybody wants to do is just, you know, run around and be loud and carry on, and usually the driver, who's usually, you know, not always, but a lot of times that's the husband, you know, what they really just need is some downtime, some quiet, you know, and I don't know, it's just a very delicate mixture, very delicate balance for, on our parties, really. Takes a lot of consideration, a lot of teamwork.
It is. And so tonight on the show, Helen and Melanie are going to help us to continue to maintain our marriage as our priority, because there are a lot of distractions and a lot of reasons to think, well, everything's going well, so I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to deal with putting out these fires. But making your marriage a priority is really an important tenet to live by. So without further ado, Helen, Melanie, thanks so much for joining Road School Moms tonight.
Well, thanks, sisters. We're glad to be here. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie. And we are, we're on the road about 9 months out of the year. We are authors with Authors of Raising Real Men, and also our new book, My Beloved and My Friend, How to Be Married to Your Best Friend Without Changing Spouses. And we travel around the country, well, around the continent, speaking at churches and homeschool conferences, and said, boy, we are living this life. I totally agree with what you're saying, that what the biggest issue is that interpersonal stuff. Because, you know, homeschooling in general does that.
Well, yeah, because when you bring your kids home for the education, you can't just push them out to the bus stop and get 8 hours to breathe. You know, you have to deal with all of the character issues and the hormone surges and the temperamental stuff. And then when you say, okay, now that we're used to doing this in our palatial 1,800 square feet at home, let's all get in the van and ride for a couple of weeks and see how that works.
And, you know, it brings that interpersonal dynamic to marriage, too, because now you're together as a couple 24/7. And, yeah, things that could be ignored or pushed aside can't be ignored anymore. They've got to be dealt with. And, you know, that can be a bad thing or it can be a really good thing.
Absolutely. Well, why don't you give us a little background on your marriage? I know you've written the book recently. I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. Can you say it again?
Yeah, it's My Beloved and My Friend.
That's right.
And the subtitle is How to Be Married to Your Best Friend Without Changing Spouses.
Mm-hmm. And that's pivotal.
Well, it really is, because, you know, as we look at when God creates marriage in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 2, you know, what does he tell us about it? First off, he says, it is not good for the man to be alone. You know, there's a need for human companionship, and so that's the first thing built into our marriage. We should be one another's best friends. And how often we fall short on that?
Yeah, it's the truth, and that's how Hal and I started. We were best friends in college and got married. We've been married 28 years. We have 8 children, 6 boys in a row. That's how we ended up running Raising Real Men, and then 2 little girls at the end. And we've been homeschooling for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been on the road for over 5 years now. And, yeah, it's we have to work at it just like everybody else. But, yeah, we're still best friends.
I love that. And, you know, you still there, Mary Beth? Did I lose Mary Beth?
I don't hear her, but I can hear you.
Oh, well, let me check the switchboard. Oh, it says she's still there. Mary Beth, if you can hear us, maybe you muted yourself. I'm going to go ahead and ask her a question. She was going to ask you. We touched on this a little bit in your introduction. What expectations should people have when they start spending the majority of their time together as a family? A lot of our families will go from a traditional lifestyle where either one or both parents work out of the home, and possibly the children are homeschooled or possibly they're not. And then all of a sudden they'll launch themselves on this adventure and they'll change everything, and everyone will be together 24/7. And I believe having appropriate expectations is a huge key to success. So can you tell us what expectations people should be having about this?
Yeah, that's it. Expectations, I mean, being appropriate. You know, just to think about this. Before you get approved for submarine duty in the Navy, you go through psychological testing because it's a high-stress environment. You're going to be cooped up with a lot of people, and some days you're not going to like the people that you've shared bunks with. And you know what? That's what we do. That's what we do with our families when we all, you know, wedge ourselves into that little metal tube and go down the road. And I think starting out like that, just recognizing you're going to be restructuring your relationships, and that's going to be your priority. You know, you can't just transition what you did at home straight into the van and expect it to be a seamless step.
You can't stomp off to your bedroom anymore and shut the door. You know, things have got to be dealt with. And I think for me, a lot of that was learning to control my mouth. You know, that I had to be more careful about what I said and more careful about being critical because things get hot really fast in a small pot.
Ooh, that's well said. I like that.
Oh, I like that. I really like that. You know, every show, Mary Beth and I have something that we call out of it and it stays with us. This show, Mary Beth and I are the biggest recipients of knowledge from this show. And things get hot in a small pot. Is that what you just said? That's fantastic.
Yeah, well.
And that's what we found. You know, my mother was talking about this the other day because I grew up in a family business. My mom and dad traveled together and worked together constantly. And she said, Melanie, be careful of your marriage. Because she said, when you're together 24/7, when you're a team, when you're colleagues and not just share a house in the evenings, it's really easy to see each other's faults. You see each other's faults way more than you do when you're working separately. And she said, you've got to be really careful about that to see more than each other's faults, to focus on each other's gifts and to focus on why you love each other and to be a couple aside from the work together and the travel together. And I thought that was really a lot of wisdom because I've seen it. We work together, and it's really easy to see each other's failures. We've got to focus on seeing what we love about each other just as hard as we focus on the failures.
Mm-hmm.
Funny, and you know, Kimberly and I done a show a couple weeks, or well, I guess it's been more than that now. It's been almost 2 months ago about the Orange Rhino Challenge, and her and I both, I think, have figured out what makes us yellers. We haven't yelled. At least I don't think it really has. I know I haven't. For several weeks, if not a couple of months, we've figured out how to control that. But having said that, I will admit to the fact that I don't yell. I've gotten that under control, but boy, I can sure grip my teeth and say what I want to if I need to. So I love what you just said a little bit ago that you learned to control your mouth, basically. Can you give some tips on how you do that?
For me, Hal and I committed to staying married until we die. We were both Christians when we got married. There's no other alternative for us.
We're not allowed to kill each other.
And so that means sooner or later I'm going to have to eat my words if I say something ugly, and they're a whole lot nicer fresh than they are having sat around a while. And I just, every time something starts to come out of my mouth, I think, I'm going to have to recover from this. I'm going to have to rebuild what I tear down with my mouth. And stopping and thinking about the consequences is so important because I've found for me that as soon as I let something ugly come out, it's easier to say something ugly the next time. You know, I slide so quickly into having a nasty relationship with my family. Instead, I've got to protect that and just say, okay, does this need to be said? Is there a way to say this that will build the relationship instead of tear it down?
Well, you know, something that comes to mind as I'm listening to you talk, Melanie, is some of the things we've read from Ken Sandy in Peacemakers Ministries. You know, he basically says, you choose to have an argument. You know, there's going to be conflict because we are fallen human beings, and I'm going to step on Melanie's toes. She's going to run into my wishes or desires or something. We're going to have conflict. The question is, do we choose to have a fight over this, or are we going to, you know, act like grown-up Christian believers and talk things through first? And, you know, realizing that I don't have to react. You know, I don't have to react to any disappointment or any word that didn't quite sound right. You know, I can take a deep breath, maybe several deep breaths, and say, I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. Can we talk this through?
Well, yeah, one of the questions you guys sent us in advance said, what do you do when you want to have a real disagreement? And the kids are there. I think that's great for a couple because it forces you to fight in a godly way. You know, because you don't have to be nasty to each other to have a disagreement. You can choose never to call names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never to bring up something other than the issue you're arguing about. You can choose not to take it to the extreme and to exaggerate things. You can choose to have a disagreement and discuss things in a godly, mature way. Most of us have no clue how to do that. But we can choose to do it using the certain principles we find in God's Word.
That's absolutely true. This lifestyle that Mary Beth and I live and that you guys, you know, the strain of travel is not for everyone. We always say it's not for the faint of heart, but definitely not for everyone. I don't want to exclude anybody, but do you have any tips or ways to figure out if this lifestyle really isn't a good fit for you and your marriage and would put additional strain on your marriage that you don't need?
I think your first thing is to try it out. I mean, don't sell the house and buy the big RV and you know, plan to see the world. But say, okay, let's do this a little bit at a time. Let's rent an RV. Let's go camping together. You know, just do this for a weekend. Do this for several days. Maybe try a 2-week trip. You know, and kind of build up into it, because a lot of those things, until you try it, you don't realize, you know what, we've got some things to work out in our relationship before we put ourselves in that small pot, as you said.
You know, Hal, one of the things, too, I think you really need to ask yourself, are you willing to die to self enough to make this work? Because I think we love the road school lifestyle. My heart lightens when we pull out of the driveway.
I know. Yeah, I get a thrill whenever I feel the weight of the hitch. Chunk.
Yeah.
When they hook up the trailer, I say, oh, we're on the road again. I love it.
Yeah, we love it. But there's a lot of dying to self on the road.
Yeah.
You know, we can't always afford to eat what we want to eat. We can't always afford to stay where we want to stay. We get ill with each other. We don't want to do school on the road. We want to sleep. You know, and I think the biggest thing is, am I willing to die to my desires enough to make this work?
I love that. You're speaking to the choir here. It's so funny. I'm hanging on every word that both of you are saying. Do you find that homeschooling in general puts a strain on the marriage, in your opinion?
It you know what? It does, because it's a lifestyle change. And in fact, we do a workshop talking about how to be happily married even while homeschooling, because, you know, it's the same kind of thing. You think, all right, my kids did school in the brick building across town. I'm just going to bring them home to my house. What's the big deal?
Changes everything.
It changed everything. And you've got to, you know, work through those changes with some grace for one another. And
you know, I think, too, Hal, it's spiritual warfare. That, you know, because we're bringing our kids in, we're discipling them, we're going to face some opposition that maybe we didn't face when we were a more normal family. And, you know, I think that makes it harder. I think that lots of times our enemy tries to take advantage of our stress to poke at our marriage. But the cool thing is that if we instead take those challenges as challenges that we can overcome together, we become closer as a family through homeschooling, and then doubly so through the road school lifestyle.
You know, I didn't, I missed putting this on the prep list, but it's definitely something that needs to be addressed in this episode. A lot of times when I talk to road school moms, they say, well, I'm doing the best I can with teaching my children, and my husband is very critical of what I'm doing, but does not offer any support or help to change what I'm doing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I think that's very typical, not just for road school moms, but for all homeschooling moms. And I think it's because dads tend to be looking toward the future more. They're worried about, all the time at conferences, we have dads come up and they say, you know, I'm worried about whether my kids are going to be able to get into college. I don't know that we're preparing for college.
I say, well, how old's your child?
Three. But that's the nature of fathers.
We tend to be long-term thinkers, and we tend to be goal-driven. You know, task-oriented. And, you know, the homeschooling, well, I tell you what really helped me to understand is that homeschooling for us is not about teaching phonics or teaching algebra. It's about discipling our children. And we teach them the other things because that allows us to spend more time teaching our children to love and serve the Lord.
Now, the cool thing is when you teach to character, they get the other things done too.
But
you know, all our kids that have graduated have gone to college and done really well.
Yes.
But the focus needs to be on the discipleship.
And that's the difficult thing because, you know, a husband, a dad very typically says, I want to see progress every single day. I want to see things checked off on the list. And you know what? You can't teach character by a calendar. It's going to come up. It's going to interrupt. And that's the time to do it.
Oh, and I'll tell you.
So you've got to have that flexibility in your thinking. You got to develop that grace, really.
Yeah.
And I think that's whether you're homeschooling in a stable position or whether you're homeschooling on top of tires.
And I've said this a lot of times recently that it's true. Now that we have adult children, three of our guys have graduated. We're about to graduate the fourth. Now that I have adult children, I used to think that those days I spent all day long discipling, disciplining, fussing at, counseling, dealing, punishing kids, dealing with issues, I used to think those were a waste of time because I didn't get much schoolwork done. But now that I have grown-up kids, I realize that those are really probably our most important homeschool days.
Yeah.
I love all that. What a great view of all that. Can you tell us, in your opinion, what couples specifically should maybe not even try to pursue life on the road? Small space? Are there certain type of personality or certain situations that you would advise that this probably isn't the right lifestyle?
Well, I would think if you're already experiencing some relationship stress, you don't need to add this to it at that time. That's the first thing I would say.
And I think that, you know, I have friends who just don't like change. Change makes them uncomfortable. They want to eat the same things every day. They want to go to the same places. If you're that way, you're not going to be happy on the road, no matter what ideas you have about it, because the road is change. You can't predict what's going to happen. You don't know when you're going to have a flat tire or when you're going to end up in somebody's basement. You know, it's a life full of change. And if change excites you, then that's a good option. If you hate change, no, avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these couples, let's say they decided that they're not actually running from something by embarking on life on the road, because that is something that we found people do, and they've decided they're ready to go for it. What tips do you have for them when they're just about to embark on this extended long-term travel adventure? Do you have any workable tips?
You know, one thing that I had to learn, we got on the road, like I said, about 5-6 years ago, and the first year I discovered how far we could travel every single day.
Oh, it was so bad.
You know, I found out that we could travel 450 to 500 miles every single day indefinitely. And like the second year, the family came to me and they very sweetly said, Daddy, can we slow down just a little bit? Because we're seeing America flash past the windows. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. So, you know, I basically let up on the throttle a little bit and I plan our travel for, you know, yeah, some days you need to do 450 miles, but can you keep it to 300 to 350? Everybody's a lot happier since we did that.
And build in some rest days. Build in some low-stress days, some days where you stay in the same place or where you stay in a place that you love. You know, a lot of people that are on the road like us are speakers or performers or missionaries, and it can be really stressful being on stage all the time. Especially for our kids, you know, because they feel a sense that I've got to behave, you know. And I think for us, it's been really important to build in some days where we're in a campground where nobody knows us for a few days. You know, we can just kind of let our hair down and not worry about how we look or how we sound, but just be us and be alone.
You know, another thing, speaking of alone, another thing that's helpful, too, is just to plan in a few nights in a motel or hotel along the way. You know, even if you're carrying your home with you, so to speak, there's some advantages to having, you know, a stable place, a regular mattress, you know, a chance to do laundry or whatever, just to plan a couple of things in. I mean, we found that you can typically get a decent hotel room for not a lot of, really about the same that you pay in some of the campgrounds.
Well, especially on Priceline.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things when you're doing a lot of travel is how do you ever have any time together as a couple? Well, you know, when you plan those things in, say, hey, we're going to stop someplace where mom and dad can have a cabin because we just need a regular bed for a night.
Or maybe get two connecting rooms in a hotel room.
Or something like that.
Yeah, you know, where you can shut a door after the kids are asleep. You know, it's challenging having private time on the road. One thing you may need to do is to notice when your kids sleep the most soundly. Do they sleep the most soundly late at night or early in the morning before it's time to get up? You know, you have to be creative about things to have that private time on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you brought that up because that is a hot button issue that comes up all the time, pardon the pun, about life on the road. You know, people think, well, that's the end of your intimacy as a couple because you took your family on the ultimate road trip. And, you know, that is one of the things that you need to focus on, that families need to focus on very strongly as far as making marriage a priority, because it's really important to still maintain that intimacy with your spouse. But like you said, you have to get creative. Now, without any specifics, of course, do you have any tips for that other than hotel room?
Well, okay. But, you know, a couple of things. Recognize that your romantic life involves other things, too. And just taking the time to stop and to hug one another, or, you know, some gentle sort of affectionate expressions there. You know, just to turn and look deep in each other's eyes occasionally and say, you know what, I still love you so much. I mean, it's important to keep expressing that even in the midst of as busy lives as we try to maintain.
Yeah, and it's amazing how easy it is to slip out of the habit of just being romantic toward one another. You know, to become colleagues when you need to remember that you're lovers too. When you remember that you're lovers too, when you look deeply in each other's eyes, when you lean against each other, when you hold hands, it makes the time you spend together better. And when you do need private time together, it's easier for everyone to be ready at the right time when you've spent that time in joyous romance that can be seen in front of the kids.
And you know what? And let me drop this in. This might be a little bit of dynamite, but I think it probably needs to be said, especially given what's all in the media this week. You know, when you get into these stressful situations where you don't have time together, it's really important. Don't try to find a substitute.
Yes.
You know, don't open that door. The books, the videos, and stuff. Sometimes people think, well, I'm just trying to you know, bridge over something.
That's a horrible idea.
No, that's poison. Don't even open that. I mean,
it's addictive, it's sin, and it will destroy your relationship. Instead, learn to be quiet. Learn to find times when everyone is hard asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to find, you know, friends you can stay with occasionally that have a guest room. You know, get creative. Do whatever you need to do. But don't go looking outside your marriage, even to the internet. It's really, really horrible for your marriage.
I love all this information. Do you have? I mean, this is kind of the same thing we're talking about, but on a little different note. One thing that I find in our rig, anyway, because you are together all the time, and you do have to be creative about personal time and intimacy factor. But even just simple things that maybe are, if you're in a 1,500 or 1,600 square foot house and you have a family discussion between mom and dad that does not involve the kids, I think, well, I guess what I'm getting at, it seems like our kids, at least my kids, they know more about probably the family business and the things that go on between mom and dad if we are in a fight or if we're not getting along or if there is some hot issue between us. How do you find that it's harder when you're on the road to kind of keep the kids in their own, you know, kind of in their own position, I guess, and not so much part of what's going on between mom and dad?
I think it's probably a healthy thing for them to know what's going on in the family business. And, in you know, our children, we make sure they understand they're not the decision makers, but it's been amazing how much they have helped us in what we're doing on the road and how much, how many good ideas they've given us. And yeah, there are times you need to have private talks. Turn on a loud audio book and both of you get in the front, you know. But, you know, you can still do that. But I find for many of the conversations, even the ones where we're disagreeing, it's good for our children to hear how Christian couples work these things out. I had that because I was with my parents 24/7 nearly growing up because we were in a family business. And I did go to school, but I came home from school to the family business. And I felt like I knew way more about life, business, marriage, and everything else than all my friends did because I was there in the middle of it.
And I think that, you know, our guys are kind of communicating that back now when they've gone off to college and they kind of get a chance to compare their upbringing with their peers out in the rest of the world, even if the rest of the Christian world, you know, to say they really appreciate when they come back, they really appreciate that they were included in discussions or they were allowed to hear discussions because they've got a much more mature viewpoint than, you know, and the stories that they come back from college with, and we just shake our heads at the young people who haven't really learned financial responsibility. They haven't learned how to have a disagreement without resorting to name calling. You know, they haven't learned how to, you know, have a difference of opinion and still show respect.
Well, yeah, one of our sons is a resident advisor at his college, and he calls the freshmen he's in charge of his man babies because they are so ill-prepared for life in the real world. And everyone told us that if we homeschool our kids and took them with us everywhere, they would be not prepared. But what we found is their peers are not prepared. Our kids are very well prepared for life.
And a lot of that is because not only the discussion, but we push them out there and say, hey, son, I need you to learn how to drive the van with this trailer behind it. You know, I had to catch up with one of my 16-year-olds. He became our expert trailer wrangler. I mean, he could back that trailer into a shoebox, and I had to learn how to drive as well as my 16-year-old. But you know what? That's a great thing because he learned so much confidence. He learned to grow up and take responsibility for, you know, a lot doing that kind of thing. And so many of these opportunities come from being on the road, constantly changing conditions, dealing with those minor emergencies and upsets that are going to happen, and just realizing, hey, God will give me the grace to deal with it. I have certain tools. I can learn other ones, and life goes on.
And the fact that the kids are listening, you know, encourages us to keep it righteous.
Keep it righteous. I love that. I always say to my kids, it takes, you know, anyone can do right in a situation, but it really does show character if you can be that same graceful, loving, considerate person in a bad situation. And that's the one thing I always try to remember, even if it is heated or, you know, like you said, Melanie, when it's time to keep your mouth shut, you know, that's always when I try to think, okay, you know, this is a time to really show grace, you know, is in a bad situation.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, we used to tell people, you know, if going through trials, if you handle them right, will make your family closer. And so if you don't have enough trials in your life, go camping. And you will create some trials. And the rest of your life is that on steroids. Because when you're on the road, trials, you don't have to go looking for trials, baby. They're all over the place. You know, can we find a place to wash our clothes in this town? Okay, we'll drop Mama off at the laundromat. Uh-oh, this is a rough place. Mama spends her whole time at the laundromat praying for safety. Dad's broken down across town changing a tire. Yeah, we live it. And those trials, though, are what, in the heat of the moment, the dross is consumed, and Christ shines through us. We're conformed to the image of Christ. Our children learn how do Christians behave in trial. And that is one of the most valuable lessons we can give our kids.
Well, that's 100% the truth. And I'm so happy that you shared this with our Road School family, this weekend, especially this Valentine's Day weekend. We announced before the show that we were going to have a flash photo contest. And Melanie, as you know, there's a ton of photos on both the Road School Moms group page, which you are now a member of, and then I want you to look through those with Hal, and I also want you to look through the event, couples photo contest event. So do you know what I'm talking about? How there's like
we are looking through both of them right now and seeing
perfect,
the most
perfect.
Incredibly cool pictures.
Aren't they beautiful? Fantastic pictures in here.
I'm so proud that everyone submitted these beautiful pictures. You know, when I was looking for my own picture, it really did remind me that it should be a priority for me to take couples pictures with my husband. I have so many pictures of the kids, a million. I have so many pictures of one of us with the kids or both of us with the kids, but I have very few, just me and my husband. And that's something that I'm going to make a conscious decision to change in the near future.
Yeah, I think it's so easy to think I don't like the way I look and I don't want you to take a picture of me. But, you know, one day we'll want to look back at these days and remember them. And we can't
exactly
hide from the camera.
And you know, even the hard pictures, you know, even the hard times. I got a picture of me and two of the boys changing a tire on the side of a freeway in Minneapolis. And you look at that and say, well, that was not real fun with the traffic whizzing past your feet there. But God protected us. We got it done. We solved the problem and moved on. And, you know, that's part of the memories, too.
Yeah, it is. How in the world will we decide so many cool pictures, Al?
Oh, well, look.
Well,
there are so many good ones. Scroll down there quick.
Okay. While you guys pick, I'm going to read off what prize you brought with you tonight to the show. We so appreciate your generosity. You have brought his and her special copies of your new book, My Beloved, My Friend, How to Be Married to Your Best Friend Without Changing Spouses. And your two versions are the hard copy book and the audio book. And you also brought with you a free registration to your online marriage retreat, which this just sounds like a wonderful prize. Thank you so much for your generosity for our Road School family. So did you pick a winner?
Do you see anything to change our
I don't think so. We are totally intrigued by the most unusual picture there.
Mm-hmm.
All of you look so great, and I love to see
pictures.
The joy in
so
your faces.
Good. Yeah, and the range of backdrops and settings and everything are fantastic. But I tell you, the one that I like the most was submitted by Liz Loyal with the two of them on the back of circus ponies. And I just thought, if anything illustrates the road schooling life, it's riding two ponies at once in the middle of a ring.
Yeah, you know, not many of us will have a chance to run on real ponies,
yeah.
But boy, my life feels like that a lot.
Very cool. Yes, I am intrigued, too, and I can't wait to get Liz Loyal's story and figure out what this is all about. I'm really excited. Hopefully we'll have her on next week's broadcast to talk to us about what is going on here. Is this what they do? I'm just totally intrigued, and I've got a million questions. So. Thank you so much for picking a winner, and we will definitely get you in touch with Liz and get the prize to her. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you taking the time to train us and teach us on how to make our marriages a priority.
Well, let me invite you to come visit our website at raisingrealmen.com. If you hit the store, we have a ton of good stuff for Road School families, including a lot of audiobooks, including Hero Tales from American History, done by Theodore Roosevelt, to teach character to kids through American history.
And we have two of the Pollyanna books to teach gratitude, patience under trial and testing.
In a hilarious way.
Yeah.
And we have tons of good things for Road School families.
Mm-hmm.
RaisingRealMen.com. Join us on Facebook at Facebook.com.
Oh. Did they leave too? Is it just me?
Nope, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. If they come back, thank you, Hal and Melanie. We really appreciate you being on the show tonight. That was really fantastic.
That was fantastic. And just one little commercial break for us. And I know that we always mention this every week, Kimberly. It's part of our intro and our ending to our show. But if you've never went to ultimateradioshow.com, which is our host, so that's who broadcasts Road School Moms every Sunday night live here on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio, you really should check it out. There are so many good shows on there. Hal and Melanie's link is on there for their product and their podcast. And Homeschooling IRL is one of my favorites. We've interviewed LaToya on here. She also has podcasts, several on there. And, you know, they're free. You can download them from the site or through iTunes, and it really is something that you should check out if you've not had the opportunity to visit ultimateradioshow.com.
Absolutely.
Just want to apologize for dropping out.
Oh,
for some reason,
oh,
guys freaked out. We are back. I'm sorry we dropped out, but yes, we'd love for you guys to come listen to our podcast. It's Monday nights at 9 p.m. on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. And you can get there easily with helenmelanie.com/radio.
Perfect. Thanks, Hal and Melanie. We really appreciate having you.
Yep, thanks
so
much.
Love seeing
you. We appreciate it.
Oh, boy, that was fun. And I love that contest. Did you get to see which picture won?
I did. That was so fun. You know, I've been gone for a couple hours, so I didn't see all of that coming through. So I got to scroll through all of them at once, and how there were so many great pictures. It was so much fun.
Yeah,
I couldn't think of which.
That was fun. Yeah, I'm glad we didn't have to pick the winner because there's no way I could do that. All of these are so great. Let's see. So tell me about Legoland.
Oh, my goodness. We had so much fun. You know, one thing that I had a road school mom tell me about a month ago, something was said about it just in passing, and she said, I think my kids are too old, and, you know, we've been there several times, blah, blah, blah. I can tell you that, first of all, I love Legoland, so, you know, I don't think you ever get too old for Legoland. And secondly, I couldn't believe we actually had so much fun talking about the things that were there that were familiar. You love that, oh, I remember that last year, but it was even more fun to talk about, oh, my goodness, look at that, that wasn't here before, or look what they added to this, or look what they added to that. They really have done so much there just in the last year since we were there last year. It was amazing. And we just had a complete blast. And I'll tell you, you'll never believe this. You know how, not that I'm the stick in the mud, but usually, you know, you get in that mode and you're like, and I don't know if you do this, Kimberly, but don't you find you always, you say no sometimes before you realize why you're saying no, right?
Absolutely.
And so,
I
made it completely intentional one-on-one day with my kids at Legoland. I completely had a blast. I sent a text out to anybody that I was communicating with for my business and sent them a text at the beginning of the day right before I went through the gate that basically said, I'm off the radar today, spending the day with my kids. And so we completely took Legoland over, had a complete blast, and somewhere along the line they wanted to go on the Chima ride, which I don't think that we got there last year when you were there. But it's basically a bus ride that you get in the boat, and there's like four of these superpower squirter guns, you know, on each side of the boat. And the object is the boat in front of you and the boat behind you, you know, you just squirt each other until everybody's completely drenched, right? So on top of that, along the path, and the boats go pretty slow, so it's not like you can get away. I mean, you don't power your own boat, so it goes just as slow as it's going to go in the water. And spectators, as you're in the boat, can pay 25 cents and squirt you. And there's nothing you can do about it because they're dry and they're on, you know, whatever. You can try to squirt them, but clearly they have way more space to get away from you than you do because you're on the boat and they're on land. So needless to say, we've done that. We got completely drenched, and then we paid $5 to get dry in a big super steamer dryer thing, which sounds absolutely ridiculous if you're listening to this and have never been to Legoland, that you would pay $5 to get dry. But believe me, after you've been on the boat and you're drenched, you pay the $5 to get dry. That was probably the highlight. And I'll have to say, I can't remember how many full-time families, you know, FTFs that we've seen on the way out that were, oh, yeah, you got in the Chima. Uh-huh. All right. Everybody was drenched. The Lackeys, Jennifer and her family, she was completely drenched. We had a lot of fun. That was definitely the highlight to our day.
I did see those pictures. That was fun. And you're right, we did miss that last year, so we'll have to make sure to get there next year.
It was a reminder to me of, you know, my kids, I have a picture, actually, I'm going to put it in our Road School Review, of Tanner and Tori high-fiving each other at the end because they got me on the ride. I mean, that was just like the big thing of the day. So it was really a reminder to me to, you know, lighten up a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, like you, I do. I just, it's a knee-jerk reaction. I'm in survival mode 99% of the day, right? Just hoping that the children get along, hoping that Chris and I will get along, and that we can just make it by the skin of our teeth through the day. And so my knee-jerk reaction to everything that they ask is no, 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 no. You know,
yep.
Whatever it is, no. And then you know, that breeds the inconsistency, because then when I think about it and when they badger me enough, I'll change my mind and say yes, because I really had no reason to say no in the first place. One day I said, I'm going to have a day of yes, an intentional day of yes, where, and not tell them. Not, you know, God forbid I tell them, but I was not going to tell them. Where whatever they asked for, yes. It was just going to be yes, and see what happens, and see really how far it was going to go, and how much of it, of my energy it was going to take, and whether this saying no was actually solving anything for me. And so we got in the car, and someone says, I want to go to the beach. And I go, yes. And so we start driving to the beach. We live in Florida at this point. And someone, then all of a sudden we get cut off by the Oscar Wiener Mobile. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
Yes. So someone from the back seat yells, can we follow that? And I go, yes. Well, the next thing I know, we are following the Oscar Wiener Wienermobile across South Florida until someone gets bored and says, hey, can we go back to the beach? And I go, yes. And that's how the day went. There are a whole lot of yeses. And I realized it really didn't take that much energy to say yes. They really didn't ask for the moon. They really didn't. That I should then incorporate more guests into my life. And I really try to do that. But like I said, a lot of times I'm just in survival mode, just trying to get through whatever it is I have in my mind that we need to get through.
Yep, it really does make you stop and remember what's important. And it's so funny to me, like you're saying, how that, just those little things, how little effort was it, really?
Yeah,
to do that. And how much of a big difference it makes in your kids' minds. It's just funny to me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So I challenge everyone out there to go have their own day of yes, like Mary Beth just did at Legoland, and I did in South Florida. And I'm going to have another one this week and report on it. I'm not going to share it with them again, because I think it's more fun that way.
Oh, you couldn't do that, because they would all have a secret meeting the night before, and they would come up with a conglomeration of craziness. So you cannot let them know, right?
Right, right. Absolutely. But, yeah, I'll report on that next week. Okay, so tomorrow we have that book club party. So even if you haven't been reading the books yet, not too late. I want to let you know the FTF book club, there's a special badge for that with the FTF Explorers. So if you want to earn that badge, your children want to earn that badge, they need to come on over and join the book club. Depending on their age, it goes on how many they need to participate in and how they need to participate. And that is all in the handbook. But definitely just come on over and join that party with myself and Mike Graff, and hopefully win yourself the copy of the next book. What's your week look like, Mary Beth?
Well, we're going to do a little bit of President's Day research tomorrow and just kind of finish up what we've done on that. Where we're at down here in Southwest Florida, last year we participated a little bit in this week over at the Edison Ford home. If you're on our chat, I'm getting ready to post I did on that last year, the five places you must visit if you're in the Fort Myers area. But the Edison Ford home is one of them. It's such a fun place. And during this week every year, they have all kinds of exhibits, and they have a whole STEM series that you can visit over the weekend, and they have specials there during the week. And then at the end of the week, they have a huge festival, Lights Parade. It's really fun. So what we're going to do this week, we're going to take advantage of our surroundings, and we're going to go visit the Ford Edison home one day, and I have just some printables and some the things that I've researched and gathered to study a little bit more about Thomas Edison, because he's a favorite in our rig, so it's going to be real easy to explore some different information about that. So we're just going to kind of take advantage of what's going on around us and see what we can learn about it.
That sounds fabulous. I'm so jealous. I can't wait. Next year we'll be in the Florida area, so I'm really looking forward to reconnecting and doing all these great things that you've been doing this year. Although we are loving our time in the desert and loving being out in the West and all these beautiful open spaces and opportunities to go bike riding and hiking and stuff like that we do miss when we're in Florida. Although I guess there's
biking and hiking there, but we never take advantage of that in Florida.
Yeah, well, you know, I've told you this before, and it's not in my five must things in Fort Myers that I'm talking about this time, but the Darling, Nature Reserve or whatever over on Sanibel Island, you can rent bikes there, and it is a complete blast to spend the day there. We just done that a couple of weeks ago, so that's definitely something we have to put on our calendar for next year when you're here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. Let's do that.
Very cool. Well, last call. I think that's all for us tonight. Next week, we are joined with Road School Mom and Chicks Without Bricks contributor, Jen Nims. She runs a site called Girl Heroes, and she's going to talk to us all about exercising on the road, because some of us come on the road and decide we don't have enough room, we don't have enough time to exercise, and she's going to dispel those rumors and myths.
Oh, I can't wait. She's one of my favorite road school moms. If you're looking for something fun to do on President's Day tomorrow and you don't have a curriculum set aside for that, Road Trip Teacher released the President's Day here a couple of weeks ago, and I just posted the coupon for that. If you want to download that free, go to roadtripteacher.com. Click on the Presidential ABCs and use the code PRESDAY, and that will get you to download your free copy. And if you happen to be listening online at our podcast, don't fear. We will still offer it to you. Just email me at info@roadtripteacher.com, and we'll be glad to send that to you no matter what time of year it is.
Yeah. And once again, that code is PRESDAY, all one word.
Right.
When you said it, I couldn't understand what the letters were, so it's P-R-E-S, PRESDAY.
Very cool.
Yep,
well, thanks, Mary Beth. I will be definitely doing that in our rig tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, we are so glad to have you all this evening with us, and a special thanks again to Hal and Melanie for sharing their views with us. And Kimberly and I will be right back here next week, same time, same place, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show at Road School Moms from wherever in the world you are. Have safe travels this week, and God bless.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.